Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
Since the first scintillating clash in 1995.
There's the siren! The season's first draw!
It's been one of the biggest games on the footy calendar.
A big house at the MCG.
Anzac Day, Essendon, Collingwood.
This has got all the makings of a classic Anzac Day game.
Giving us moments we'll never forget.
Cleverly down to Swan, he's going to take a moment. Swan takes one bounce, tucks it under his left arm, takes his second run to the left forward pocket.
Oh!
Slices it through the left forward. That is ridiculous.
Jones.
Anzac Day.
All right, this is going to be big.
For Reap Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Anzac Day 2024, the football game comes to the MCG. One of those rare days, though, where football takes a back seat as we reflect on the history of the country, the sacrifice of those that have served the country overseas in the theatre of war, and pay our respects to those that are with us and those that are no longer with us. It's an amazing day in the history of this country, and somewhere wedged in at 20 past three is a game of football that will light up the MCG. But as I said at the start, this day is so much more than that, and I look around and it is a respectful crew, and I think a crew that feel very privileged to be here today at the MCG. We'll start with you, Damien Barrett. I know when I drive up today and you see the service in the morning and you think, wow, I'm coming to the MCG on Anzac Day, that it is a true privilege to be here to broadcast and to see what's an amazing historical day.
Yeah, it is, Howie. It always is, isn't it? And we've now got the night before occasion to factor into the whole celebration, and then the fact that they then extend it to make it an Anzac Day round of footy, which I really love, and I keep saying it each year. My education of the Anzacs and the Australians at war was not good through school, and footy has helped that be, I suppose, better than it was.
Star broadcaster in 2017 All-Australian Kate McCarthy is as well as with us today. Kate, how are you? Great to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and exactly what you have both said up until this point, it's just fantastic. It's a real honour to be calling Anzac Day and be able to be a part of such a fantastic day on the calendar, and also just huge privilege to be able to be here for the ceremony as well, for what they do before the game. It's just fantastic, and the AFL always does these things so well.
And Lee Montagna is here, a man that's been involved in this game in a different setting with a different team, but nevertheless just as important. Lee Montagna is here. G'day, Joe.
G'day, Howie. Yeah, played in a couple of Anzac Day games over in New Zealand, which, again, had a different sort of context, but a really special one as well, and was here last night, and the way they did through the ceremony and the lighting of the cauldron and the dimming of the lights has a special feel, but nothing beats the actual day here of Anzac Day. But to touch on the point about learning about the Anzacs and what it means, my son's 6 years old, and talk about Anzac Day today, and actually had to give him a quick, just a very simple explanation about what it actually means. And that's what this day has done for the younger generation too, and continues to evolve. And as a Collingwood supporter growing up as well, this was always a very special day for me.
And Nathan Brown, as always, is here with a smile on his face, but also feeling very privileged to be here. Hello, mate.
Absolutely, Howard. It's hard to fathom, isn't it, that we sit here in luxury and the ground looks so good, yet so many years ago, that what went before us that allows us to be here today. It's very hard to fathom with the luxuries we have today.
I was going to say, Howie, this man to my right is an Anzac Day medalist.
Yes.
Don't get the cashies that I would like for this time of year. You know, I see Xavier Zaharakis is doing gigs and all these others. Swanny and Hurdy's probably still cashing in, but my little one over in New Zealand doesn't quite get it, but that's fine.
That didn't take us long to start talking about money, did it?
There's so much to reflect on today. I was driving up and my wife and son are coming to Anzac Day for the first time. And again, my son's 12 and we were listening to a podcast and trying to sort of explain the history to him. And I just thought I'd take the chance to tell you a story about Sarah Jones's pop, a gentleman by the name of Jack Jones, who passed away 4 years ago at age 95. Had the privilege of speaking to him, as a lot of people did in the media, Damo, and listening to his story again the other day. And he went off to the theatre of war, grew up around Essendon, born in Ascot Vale, went as a 19-year-old, served in Papua New Guinea, and he talked about all sorts of things relating to fear, things that we can't really relate to. I want to tell you a little bit more about his story, but just have a listen to Jack talking about what war was like in the early 1940s in Papua New Guinea.
It was a job.
Right.
It was just a job.
Chaps would die a bit alongside you, in front of you, behind you, and with the mortar bombers coming over, and you couldn't hide from them. They'd have the spotters up trees, you know, for the mortar bombs, and they'd probably land 50 yards behind you, and then they'd say, we assumed, they'd say, drop it back 50 yards. And then it dropped in amongst us, you know. We had a lot killed in a lot of those raids.
That's not a job then, though.
Well, it still was, because you didn't even think about it. You got every morning, you didn't know whether you're going to be still alive by the end of the day. What could you do? I know people can't understand that.
No, I have no understanding.
You couldn't be frightened
saying.
Because you had to look after you. I had to look after you, for instance, and I had to look after that bloke there, you know.
So you didn't feel fear?
No. Never felt fear at all.
I was listening to that again this morning. I went back to Jack's story, but listen to it again now. I don't know, you hear that thing about mateship and just looking after your mate, and I don't know if we've lost our way a little bit. I don't want to get too deep as a nation where we're attacking each other, where this is a bloke at war, Joey, and he's talking about you didn't feel fear because I had to look after you and I had to look after you. I don't know if we've lost a part of that in our culture.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I suppose listening to it, you think, is that right? But we've got no idea, and we're never going to have an idea what it's like. So you take him on his word, but it is hard to comprehend. It's always been something for me that you can't comprehend. And what these people did, and you know, that's great to listen to.
The confluence of football. So the war finished in 45, and Jack and many of his mates couldn't get home. They were in Bougainville, and there wasn't enough ships to get the troops home. So he spent another 4 months out in Bougainville, and they flattened an area of land because there was nothing to do, and there's all these young blokes. And they had athletics events, they played cricket and they played footy. So Jack was playing footy in Bougainville in September 1945. He came home, went to his mum's house, and the first thing she said to him was, Jack, I got great news for you, still rationing, but I've got you a can of baked beans. And he'd eaten nothing in Papua New Guinea but baked beans for 3 years. He was a bit flat about that. But he had three letters at home. One was from Williamstown, but one was from Essendon. And word had come back from Bougainville that there was a fella that was worth maybe getting to a footy club. So he'd grown up idolising Dick Reynolds, these guys. He went to Essendon and they had 100 guys training on to get part of the football club, of which they chose two. Jack was one of two, and played a couple of games. So this is early 1946. And then he's one of the few listed VFL players to miss a couple of weeks because he came down with malaria. The doc said, you've got malaria. But it's all right. They fixed him up. And he went on to play because there was a drawn grand final. He went on to play 7 grand finals in 6 years, won 3 premierships, but set because they played a grand final replay. And he'd never told me the name. There was one of the grand finals when it was a draw and then they went on and lost. And he said they kicked something like 11:27. And he said a bloke, but Jack was so respectful, this bloke kicked, in Jack's words, 2 goals 13 in the granny. But he wouldn't name him because he didn't want to. He said he's a good player.
Didn't want to disrespect him.
He just had a tough day. So I just wanted to tell you guys that and our listeners that, because to me it summarised the confluence of what we're here today. A bloke went off to war. He was playing footy. He came back and had an incredible career. And he's, I'm sure many of you in the room have met him. He was just a much loved figure. I know Sarah and her whole family are very proud. And I think he's on the opener to Fox today. And he was a great.
He was a fixture on this day, wasn't he?
He was.
Around all the radio stations and TV stations and the lead up to it. And again, I think his role in it from a football perspective, equally as much as, we'll say equally, more than anyone, including Kevin Sheedy, who was the brain's child of it back in the early 90s when he pushed for several years in a row to get the AFL to sign off on this game being played on this day.
And what is huge about this day is that those stories then get retold and retold. They might get lost if we didn't have a day like this. So obviously all the kids have got a day off coming up this week. Everyone's talking about the football. But in schools, they're talking about what happened and stories like that because of this day, because of football, because we've kept that history going. And it's one of the great days on the calendar. And the AFL, they do this, whether it's this game, whether it's the Indigenous game, they do it so well. And it's a big credit to the AFL as well.
Did you all come to... I had never been to an Anzac Day match before. I was privileged enough to be involved sitting down there on the boundary. I don't know, do you have memories of going to an Anzac Day match? Any of you guys? Joey, as a Collingwood man, or Damo, you're older than us all.
Yeah, well, I was at the first one. The 1995 one, the famous one.
Who were you working for?
I think it was Sports Weekly that year, magazine. I was in there between stints with the Herald Sun and then the Courier Mail.
Were you wearing the earring that I saw on the footy show?
There was no earring. Actually, same year, wasn't it?
Right, so what's your memories of that first?
Again, there was, look, the build-up was massive, and the Herald Sun obviously embraced what Kevin Sheedy was doing. He'd come off the 93 flag. He was as big as anyone's ever been in football. And he just wanted this game. Look, football had been played on the day before, but not the way he wanted it to be played between Collingwood and Essendon. And then, look, again, we talk about it every year, don't we? The famous game, the Nathan Buckley decision to not go long late and the score staying level and Rocker's involvement in that and performance. And then it just took off. It was an instant success. I think on the day itself, Howie, from memory, they knew there was going to be a massive crowd, but when it was full, it was instant success.
Yeah, for me, I was growing up in Brisbane, and up until probably mid-teens, I hadn't really watched a whole lot of football, AFL football up there. It's all rugby league heartland, so I grew up watching that and going to games. But I knew every Anzac Day, because up until a certain point, the NRL hadn't actually played any games on Anzac Day. But I remember this was always the game that I'd watch. It might be the only AFL game that we watched in the household for the whole season, but we always watched Anzac Day, and most of us probably had no idea what was going on. But because of what the occasion was and how well it was done by the AFL, it was always the thing that we did up in Brisbane watching this game. And if we didn't turn on another game of AFL for the year, it didn't matter, because we watched Collingwood and Essendon at the G playing in Anzac Day.
You were a little Pies man.
Yeah, I was. So 95, I can remember listening to it on radio, and I was on my way to basketball as an under 12.
You were listening on Triple M.
sitting in the car. I remember listening to the first game, and then I came. I can't remember what year it was, but it was late 90s as a teenager. Standing room. I remember standing over underneath the southern stand somewhere, and it was probably the first time I'd heard the last post. I think it was a genuine moment where the whole MCG had gone silent, and that moment of thinking, wow, this is unbelievable as a teenager with a group of friends. So they were my early memories. Collingwood stunk it up in the early 90s. The late 90s, they weren't a good team. We were talking about it earlier. Didn't have a lot of great players. I used to just follow Nathan Buckley around and count his stats. But Anzac Day was one. Didn't matter where Collingwood were on the ladder. They could always step up, and they were able to jag a couple of wins, and it was always good fun.
And how did Ross approach it? Because, you know, Mick Malthouse was obviously right into the history of it, and then Nathan took over from that. And I think in recent times, Damo, everyone's been very conscious of not confusing the theatre of football with the theatre of war, which has been a really important distinction. How did Ross handle the history, as opposed to we need to still go out and win this game?
Nah, it wasn't Ross Lewis. It was post-Ross Lyon. Yeah, this was Scott Waters was definitely one of them. I'm not sure if he was both or whether it was Alan Richardson. But I remember having conversation, getting someone to come in and speak to us over in New Zealand, more about the relationship between the Australians and the New Zealanders and that sort of connection. So I'm not great with my memories of those sorts of things, but that was something I remember having that understanding over there. But Scott Waters was the coach at that time.
And the game of football couldn't be, you know, there's some years Collingwood 13 and Essendon second, or more recently switched around. But I tell you what, after Collingwood came home in the second half last week and then Bombers in that close one, Nate, like now we're talking football.
It's a great addition of it, isn't it? Yeah. So they've won four games, the Bombers, and when you be able to drop the players that they've dropped and left out of this side, you know they're going well. Collingwood the last 3 weeks have been the number one pressure side, so you feel like it is going to be a big day today with some big names out there. Looking forward to seeing how Jakey Strigger goes on the big stage, because I think he could tear it apart.
Yeah, the eyes, I think, are on Essendon today. I think we sort of know from Collingwood what we're going to get, what level. We'll wait and see, but it's Essendon. Are they going to back it up and deliver on the big stage and prove that they are a legitimate finals team this year and go, you know, get really stuck into the season, or are they going to let us down, Damo, and be a bit disappointing this afternoon? And we think, it's still a bit of the same Essendon that are up and down and you can't trust them yet. So I'm fascinated to see today's game from an Essendon perspective and how they perform.
The narrative will switch, won't it, if that goes badly. Hey, Kate, Peter Wright's back after the four-week suspension. They've gone in tall. Harrison Jones has kept his spot. Sam Draper's kept his spot. Todd Goldstein couldn't be dropped given his form. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic in this game.
Yeah, and I think the player that sort of stood out the last couple of weeks that's worked really hard to actually hold his spot in the team is Harry Jones. I think when
he's looked good, hasn't he?
When Wright went out, they would have thought, okay, this is his chance to sort of show what he can do. He's taken it with both hands, and he's been fantastic up in their forward line. And yes, he's a tall, he plays tall, but he's also so athletic, so he can play at ground level too. So I think that's the reason they've gone in with all three of them. I think with what he's shown the last couple of weeks, he can really hold his own there, playing as, yes, a tall, but also playing at ground level and applying pressure at ground level too. So I think it'll be a dynamic forward line. On the other hand, though, Darcy Moore looks like he's coming into some really good form. I know his partnership with Nathan Murphy is a big way way about how he plays his football. He's had to obviously form that with Kruger now. They look like they're starting to hum as a back line. So if they don't use the three properly, I think Darcy Moore and Kruger will pop in and make it a hard day for them.
Darcy Moore's best game was last week for the season. And for the stats out there and people who love stats, and I know you do, Joey. So Scotty Penderbury needs four disposals to get to 10,000. But if you drill down a bit further, he's had 5,000 handballs, 4,996 kicks. So if he kicks the ball four times in a row to start the game, he's got an even balance of 5,000, 5,000, wow, which would be extraordinary.
The real stat nerds are looking forward to that. Chewman is going to be
going aware of it.
Off his head. He would be aware.
I hope he kicks the ball four times.
Just intentionally make sure he gets four kicks. That would be pretty cool.
Where would that fit in his accolades in his career, Brownie?
10,000?
You know, the 5,000 kicks equaling 5,000 handballs.
Wouldn't quite be up there. The Copeland.
I can't get too excited about this.
And I think it would be above the podcast he did with Jay-Z, though.
Yeah, do you think the Collingwood fans will stand up and give a standing ovation and make a big thing of it during the game?
Yes.
They're Collingwood fans. Of course they will.
We need to get to a break, but Damo, historic moment. So as a caller, you might or you might not want your voice to be attached to this moment. And we were doing on the telly last week with Dwayne, I was doing Collingwood versus Port Adelaide, and we were counting down. I was looking at Dwayne, he's looking at me thinking, well, who's going to get to call the 10,000? I started bringing up Sanal Gavaskar, the first man to get 10,000 run. Thinking, oh, this could be my big moment. And then they subbed him, mate. They subbed him four short. Hey, I tell you what, happy about this. Archie Perkins, fantastic footballer, wonderful man.
Good looking
dude,
too.
He's wandered into the box, and he's got real nice skin, doesn't he? He's just a good looking man all around. So looking forward to getting Archie in here.
He could be a model as well.
Is he? Yes, he's giving us a thumbs up, saying, I do a bit of that on the side. Don't worry about Archie. He's walking out the back of the box. He doesn't want to come on now. It'd be great to have a chat with Archie on this fantastic day in the history of this country. McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M Rocks Footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
And a man that's wandered in here with just a breath of fresh air is for the Essendon Football Club. His name is Archie Perkins. He joins in the box. Arch, great to see you. How are you going?
Really good. Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
So much to talk to you about, but why are you not playing football? When are you going to be playing football?
So I did a little hammy against Port and gather round. A bit frustrating, but all's gone well in the rehab so far and all going according to plan over the next week.
Good to hear.
Back next week.
Good, good, good.
Talk about the vibes in the footy club at the moment. Obviously, stringing some wins together, playing some better football. What's been the mood and the talk around the club?
Yeah, very positive week to week. Besides that little blip against Port Adelaide, I think we've performed really well. And certainly, you guys would know that the mood is high around the club when you're getting the wins. So we hope to keep it that way. Really pleased with how we're going.
Fantastic win last week. It came in controversial circumstances with how it played out with the non-free kick. What did your footy club do with Sam Draper in the moments after it and in the week as it unfolded? Because I'd imagine that would be quite a bonding moment inside.
Yeah, well, it was pretty humorous, I thought. I was a bit nervous watching the TV there at the end. It was hanging around in the Crows forward line for a while. But, I was happy to get the win. I don't think they've educated him on that. Everyone knows that it had the potential to not go our way. So I don't think we'll be doing that again. But, it was good last week.
He's a different cat, isn't he, by the looks of it, for us on the outside looking in?
Yeah, he's a big personality. You don't hear him a lot at the club. He's very loud, gets around everybody. But, yeah, great character to have around. Has great relationships with everyone.
And Archie, we've spoken a lot, obviously, in the lead up to this one about the importance of Anzac Day and what it means to, yes, the footballing society, but Australia as a country as well. What's the build up like inside the football club? What do you do during a week like this? Do you go to memorial sites? Do you do things like that as a club, or is it just sort of in-house education? What is the build up?
Yeah, so any new player to the club, so all the draftees and the new players like Todd and Gresh and Xavier, they would have gone to the Shrine for an education session at some point throughout the week. So I did that in my first year. It's really good. And someone will take you around the Shrine on tour. But then also we had a whole of club session at the club this week and had a few people on the Q&A, Dustin Fletcher, Travis Cloak, Joe Watson, and a few people from the previous people who've been in the army as well. So that was really good.
And pre-game, is it touched on at all? Does Scotty talk about things like this in his pre-game address, or does everyone just know that it's a huge occasion and that's sort of what's on the line and that there's a little bit more than football out there today?
Yeah, I think everyone really would feel that it's more than just a game of football today. As a player, has that that extra important feel about it when you're out there playing. But I'm sure, yeah, Brad will touch on it, I guess, in his pregame. But, yeah, everyone really carries himself to a high regard out there today.
You've been coming through with a crop of multiple talent at the Bombers. Harrison Jones is one of those. He seems to have found his, I guess, his aggression and his form over the last few weeks. Is it just a matter of getting his body right over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I've been super impressed with Harry, and I'm really... I feel really good watching him out there the last few weeks, because he's had a couple of really challenging years. So, yeah, it's really good to see him getting the rewards out there. I think we've all known that that's what he's been capable of, and his body hasn't allowed him to go out there and show that. But I think it's good to see that that everyone's taking notice, because he's a really high-quality player, and I think that he's only got more improvement left in him.
And there must be good vibes in the household, mate. You live with Sammy Durham, who's flying at the moment, getting a lot of attention in the media, and Nick Martin as well, who's racking up touches for fun. There must be a good feel amongst the boys at the home.
Yeah, it's really good. Sammy, when I told him I was doing this interview, he asked me to give him a pump-up. So
need a pump-up. No, he's getting plenty of it.
No, I know. Yeah.
I saw he's in the paper with the new girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the new girlfriend, influencer model, Paris. So, yeah, she's good to have around the house. He's been looking for a girlfriend, so it's good that he's finally
got one. It's helping his footy.
Yeah, he's going well.
But further to that, I believe, and I've been told, that you are the most searched player at Essendon on TikTok. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah. No, that makes me feel a bit funny, but...
Now, Nathan, I've listened to the football questions, but now you're starting to wander things that really interest me, because I've looked at Archie Perkins _ on Instagram, and I find with the young footballers you can get a real insight into what they're about. Firstly, Archie, sort of late 2021, you're rocking the long hair. Yep. I'm looking at your Insta. Just what made the decision? Like, you're still a very good-looking man, but with the long hair, I think you're a next-level style-looking man. Oh. A very handsome man, Nathan. Why'd you cut the hair, firstly?
Yeah, well, at school, you weren't allowed to have long hair, so they always made you cut it. So then I think, yeah, when I finished school, finally had the ability to grow it out, and kind of I was like, yeah, well, I'm going to do it then. I don't think, looking back, it looked very good.
No, it looks
that
fantastic.
Was the reason why I got the long hair, because I couldn't have it at school. And then, yeah, I think it became a bit annoying, and definitely appreciate running out there on the field now, not having to worry about it.
I got a couple more questions for him, Damo, so hold station on the big stories.
Okay.
Yeah, skin regime, like your moisturising regime, what are you doing? Because, again, Nathan, it's glowing.
Better than yours.
If my word it is. That's why I'm looking at it.
Well, my partner works at Mecca, so she gets all the discounts. On the higher, the good stuff, so she brings them home for me occasionally, but yeah, no tricks, really.
Saves you a bit of coin, too.
Yeah, saves
you
a bit, yeah.
We'll mention it three more times to say, and you'll never pay for it. Now, I'm also looking at a European adventure with some of your teammates. Tell me about that. So, Nath, there's a lot of photos of blokes
tops
without
off.
Shirts on. Apparently, in Europe, you only need
one button
to up on your shirt. Tell us about some of these trips, Arch. There's super yachts on here.
Oh.
There's the Dior sort of setup.
Who's the organiser? Who would have organised?
I don't know what he's getting paid.
We've been the last couple of years, but yeah, the organisers.
Who generally organises it? Who's the leader?
Well, I've only been around a few years, so there's... but I've only been on two trips, and it wasn't... The first year was quite big, quite a lot of players, and then last year was a smaller group.
Well, tell us about...
We all put the input in, where to go. It's pretty easy with the boys. You say, this is where we want to go, this is how many days each, and you just get it done.
Who's your group? Who's your clique? Who do you go with?
Last year was me, Jai Caldwell, Mac Welfie, and Ben Hobbs.
So when you're at dinner, who do you know of the group that's going to be trying to split the bill and say, no, I didn't have the calamari, and who's the one that's happy to...
No, I think we said that wasn't happening. It was just split... the whole time, no matter what you get. So if you're splitting the bill, you need to get your shares worth.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And you came in here and said you're studying as well. Tell us about your education.
Yeah, I'm studying commerce very slowly. Should be done by the time I'm about 30. So, yeah, all the people in my class are going to be getting younger and younger compared to me each year. But, yeah, just tick the box there, get that one done while I'm playing.
But it's a good balance for you, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I kind of... Well, I think it's well known now. You need to be doing something outside of footy, and the club's really encouraged that. So, yeah, something I've been not interested in, but I've always been enjoyed my study, so I think it's important to have something outside of footy. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Archie Perkins on Triple M Football, so how do you know that this man on TikTok is the most searched bomber? Like, where are you getting information like that? No, that's not a two-man style statistic.
Well, we've got a producer who speaks in out here.
Oh, he's actually done something,
and
has
he's actually got some,
okay.
got some intel.
Okay. Social media, how do you track with it? You know, we're having a laugh and like your life looks fantastic, as does everyone on Instagram. How do you deal with social media when negativity comes your way after a game, or positivity? As a young athlete, it's Joey and Nath didn't have to deal with this type of thing. Nath would have been massive on Instagram, by the way.
Oh, yes.
He would have been enormous. But how do you go about dealing with that, Arch?
I think it helps to just know that the most important voices are the people closest to you, your teammates, your family, friends, your coaches. They're the voices that matter, and everything else really. And sometimes you guys know what you're talking about, but
really,
but yeah, I think they're the most important people to listen to, and anything else is not important. So I try, yeah, not to read that. Or if I do read something funny, just laugh at it and not take it too seriously.
Speaking of those important voices, tell us a little bit from your perspective about Brad Scott. What's he like behind the scenes? What's your relationship like with him, and what are his strengths?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed Brad the last couple of years. He's one of those coaches that each week you feel like you're going to win the game, and he'll be really clear about how you're going to beat your opposition. So it's always really gives you a lot of confidence going to each game, knowing he's going to give you the best possible chance to win the game. So that's a really good feeling. And yeah, what you see is what you get with Brad, really. What you guys see is kind of what he's like. So he knows what he's talking about. He's been around a while, and I think it's really helped our group.
And the influence of a near 36-year-old in Todd Goldstein this year, just what you've observed, I suppose, standing beneath him in a ruck contest?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed some of his tap work as well. He's probably, you know, up there top few ruckmen of the last generation. So it really helps having him on board and really steady, wise head out there. But yeah, he's going very well, and I'm glad to see him playing his first Anzac Day game as well today.
So Damo, I'm just looking through the list of assistant coaches and coaches here. Obviously you had an issue with Brad Scott many years ago. He was quite aggressive towards you. And Daniel Jean Syracuse is another one that you've had an issue with in the past at a bar. So is there any other assistant coaches that you've punched on with that we could talk about?
Why do you need the phrase in front of Archie? I got on really well with both those gentlemen.
You got two or three at every club.
Well, I think we're speaking to one soon at another club at the moment.
Or Brady, Justin Lepich.
Sorry, Archie.
We won't make you sit through this, mate. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for having a laugh, but explaining as to the significance of the day. We love watching you play football, mate, and we hope to see you playing again really, really soon. Good man.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Archie.
And again, after your Mecca gear, yeah, that's what you need.
That's the key.
For Archie. Yeah.
Product.
Sort him right out. That's it.
Howie, there's a lot of professions around football that can at times get very precious about their patch. They don't like people commenting about it. I put the club doctors in that. We're all doctors, aren't we, the way we assess games. But I think the cohort which might be most precious, the stats people.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you would never picture this, but the big names, the Swamp, the Chua, that Josh Kay, if you question their statistics, these are men that have tremendous egos, Damien.
And Joey's in this bucket because he has embraced the whole
with his
style
up
of
the cracker show that him and Kingy do on a Sunday.
They have a stat off each Sunday night.
I've learned how to manipulate stats.
But the point being, there have been, from what you've been investigating in an exclusive today, a blow up in the world of stats.
Well,
based around Sean Pendlebury.
I raise this because this has been building to this 10,000th stat. Now, some people in the crowd today may get up on the fourth stat today.
Yes.
But there'll be another part of the stats cohort that will still remain seated until he gets five.
So there's a dispute. There's only one way to figure this
out. Let's go to him.
And let's get the man that, let's be honest, he's a fair ego himself. He keeps it in check. But the Chew man is here statistically. Chewy, nice to see you.
Yeah, g'day, Howie.
Explain to us, take us deep into the background of what we could see today, the history of what we're about to see, but the dispute that has been bubbling away.
This is huge.
And he's now ugly.
Well, what we're going to see today is Scott Pendlebury should hit 10,000 disposals, the first time in VFL.
But when does he do that?
That's right. Is it four? Is it five, Dave? Well, officially, it is four.
Okay.
And we're basing that from Champion Data, who are the official stats provided to the AFL industry.
Right.
AFL tables, which a lot of people reference, have him requiring five more disposals to go to hit 10,000. But the official statistic is four touches.
So where's the errant stat come from?
I believe it's a game in 2022. AFL Tables had him down for 31. Champion Data for 32. So that's where this, the discrepancy is. I haven't gone to the vision as yet, Brownie, but I will when I get home tonight.
Someone's going to have to.
After the event to verify.
Well, have any of you actually looked at the AFL Tables website? Because if that's what they're pouring into their stats, the quality of the website, Champion Data, I think, has definitely got the wood on them.
Spot on.
I think it's very old.
I must say, when I'm looking up how many games or goals, or I go to AFL Tables.
Is that because it's free, though? Do you not? Like, I don't have access to Champion Data, so I look up AFL Tables.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Chewy. My Northern Star here, Damo, as much as I love you, Chewy, and I'll work with you, but the Swamper, for your very obscure stat, David Frith, I think as you're an obscure man.
He's freakish, isn't he?
That's who you're relying on. Yep. So where does Swamp sit? Is he on your side or against you?
He's on my side. I'm actually on his side as well. I'll give you the backstory, because remember when Pendlebury broke the record for the most number of VFL AFL disposals last year? And we're broadcasting that game.
We were.
Friday night footy. About now before the game, Swamp highlighted this one disposal discrepancy.
Right.
I said, thank you so
much. Straight away.
Right.
Yeah, and I remember when we pulled the trigger when he broke the record, Luke Darcy, when he caught it, absolutely glared at me because the crowd hadn't responded yet, remember?
That's right.
He was about to throw me out of the box. But,
Which he's been doing a bit of lately, to be fair.
Yeah.
Very angry.
So as
where's Paul Hutchison sit on it?
Well, I reckon he could be here today purely for that disposal record to be broken.
As a caller, Nathan, have you put some thought into what's going to happen when Pendlebury gets the ball for his 10,000th time, and
to be honest,
a record that might never ever be broken.
And I'm going to have to do some.
Joey, you
haven't done the prep.
No.
Can you come up with a line?
I will come
this
up with a line.
This could be, like Maccabi Diva style.
Can you and Kate pay attention to this during the game?
I will.
Because there's going to be a power play with these two.
Well,
it'll be like, who gets the ball when someone's having the shot after the siren?
I think it's down to luck when you're talking about a possession.
I'm not sure.
If we're not careful, Chu might call it himself.
Actually, you should do that.
He actually might.
This is a big moment.
Well, we could hand it over, but his last interaction with Scott Pendlebury, he was in. And he called him Sconce. And we can't afford that to be the audio record, Damo.
That's a very good point.
What about the team at Champion Data? They're going to be under a bit of pressure, especially the ground caller.
They will be.
As well as the inputter.
So how does that work?
They want to butcher that.
People think we're pumping this up more than we should be, but explain to me the role of the
inputter. We'll start with the ground caller. Obviously, player identification is paramount, so you wouldn't want to get that wrong. So
it's pretty easy to identify.
Yeah, if you have an off day like myself.
So someone calling it out. How do they do it, Chu?
And then they're actually mic'd up to the inputter who's based at the offices at Champion Data. So they're listening to the ground caller's call. So the player and the nature of the stat that is being called. So the inputter, they probably input over 1,000 transactions per game. That one, they want a nail. Yeah.
So this is why, Kate, our man's not allowed to call it.
Yeah.
Got one of their way too much going on. I've got Scott Pendlebury in the rooms with me.
I'll never live that down, will I, Jay?
Thanks for that explanation, Chu, man. Very, very, very good. Hey, Justin Lepich is not too far away, just before we get
there.
What
did you used to like to call him?
Well, when I was working at Channel 7 Sports World, we used to have to ring around and get all the stats. So it'd be a Friday or a Saturday night. So you'd ring up to the Brisbane game and it'd be old Knackers McCrackers up there. And they'd list Black 32, Ackermanis 15, Boss 26, Lepinicic. Every week. And we never pulled this guru up. Lepinicic 23 and 6 in the back line. So looking forward to speaking to Justin Lepinicic. What was the issue between you and Justin? Was that when he was coaching?
It was just after he finished coaching.
Right.
He thinks you got him sacked. That's pretty much the crux of it.
I think he did level that at me at the night in question.
And threw a pot at you.
Yeah. Were you there that night?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Really?
But we're good. Again, I've patched every issue I've had up. Except for one.
His life that night.
Did you get him sacked, though? Was that...
No.
The comment coming back from Damo was, I think you got yourself sacked.
Oh,
and then the pot went through the air.
How do you patch up a situation? Because you and I have this discussion privately. This is not something I could do.
No, we broke ice in the hub, actually, on the Gold Coast. I'd come out of quarantine. He was in the same hotel that I was, and I just saw him one day, and I just stopped. We didn't get much attention then, and then we just have been okay since. We were all good before that. We just had moments. I did cover his career when he was playing, when I was working there for 2 or 3 years at the Courier Mail. He was always quite fractious with people, and that was the way he was. He's a big persona, but we're good. as I am with everyone except for one particular person. Football. Yeah, only one. Only one.
Black soul.
We probably don't need to go into that. Before we speak to Justin Lipidisic, big day for fans and the clubs Sydney and Hawthorn tomorrow. I think it's the 4:40 MCG. In fact, Sunday, I've got my days wrong, where Lance Buddy Franklin, a man that stepped away from football as he was always going to, and we don't see him, Damo, he's doing a lap of honour. How did this come to pass?
It's pretty big, isn't it? Given he basically quit the Sydney Swans and barely told the club that he was not going to be playing anymore and then didn't do the lap of honour last year. Several requests have come his way to appear, but here he is. So I have asked the question around the scenes. I'm not familiar, Howie, as to what was the linchpin to get him to say yes, but I think it's great. Yeah. It's really good. And the fact that he has got the connection with those two footy clubs.
You know how I said Justin Lipidisic was coming up?
Yep.
He's not here, so I don't know whether he's heard the demos in the box.
Oh, this will be an issue.
I don't know.
Hopefully no, he's been on several times recently with us.
So joining us after the break from the Collingwood Football Club, Justin Lipidisic will be on for a chat. And then a bit of news as we lead up to Essendon versus Collingwood on a magnificent Anzac Day here in Melbourne. McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M, Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M Rocks Footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
The first time we welcome Mickey Roberts to the broadcast. Michael, always lovely to speak to you. You're down on the boundary. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Howie, thanks. And I tell you what, we've got Justin Lipidisic down here. And I've got written here, Director of Strategy and Innovation. Ooh. But he just calls himself the technical genius. you've just got everything wide. Don't, besides that, it's a big, massive occasion for you. It's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, what a game. Apart from Grand Final Day, this is the biggest occasion to be a part of. And it's an honour our club get to do it every year. And I guess both teams are in the phase also that the taking emotion aside that we need the 4 points as well. So it becomes a lot more to it as well.
You've gone through as a player and also assistant coaching and then ended up at Collingwood with Fly. So you've actually gone through the ranks with him. I was fortunate enough to interview both of them yesterday. They're toey, they're trying to hide it, but such a big game that emotions do take over.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, head coaches want to win every week, and one thing we know about the 24 hours before a game, the players prepare, the coaches get a little bit more nervous about what may happen. But I guess once the ball's bounced, everyone tends to settle down a little bit. Well, I have to anyway.
Lepa, as the tactical genius down there at the Pies, how happy are you with where the game's at the moment in regards to Collingwood's style? We see it's a really strong front half game at the moment. Has that been a real focus and something you're pleased with where it's at?
I don't like that title for a start.
He loves it.
I always find that we don't go in planning to be a front half team, but often the game will dictate certain things. Our games have been different every week, and the first 3 weeks the first week with Giants high inside 50s, low efficiency, they were highly efficient, and then we have a game the following week where we don't have many entries and we're highly efficient. It's just bizarre, and teams have taken away some of our back half bounce, but which has created a bit more front half turnover, and I'm boring everyone to death now, but it's often too, if you win stoppage you get lots of ball in your front half, so the outcome of the result, we just play whatever game gives us on that particular day. We want to get more back half transition clearly, but sometimes the opposition don't allow you to do that.
Lepper, it's fair to say the pressure rating was off in the first 3 weeks. Collingwood now the last 3 weeks have been the number one pressure side. Is that a conversation that you guys had and a focus that you had after round three?
Yeah, we're massive. And that's probably the easiest one for the public to kind of understand. We felt our pressure in the first 3 weeks was poor. Mind you, the biggest area was just our giveaway turnovers. If you look at a statistical point of view, but we also felt, and I know it's been a topic of the week, but we had six-day break. I think that St Kilda game was our third game in 12 days. So, and what that means for people, it's not so much an excuse, but you don't get to train as much throughout the week. Some of the deficiencies as well, when you get the longer break, you get two big training sessions in, get to work on your deficiencies, and so it's not just the accumulative fatigue, it's also what you can and can't work on in your game. And we found that 3 week patch, we started slowly, we know that, but also the accumulative effect of our draw probably didn't help us either.
But sometimes as a player you don't even really notice that your pressure is off within a game. So after round three, is that a player driven thing or a coach driven thing?
Oh, I don't think the players notice. I think you're right. I mean, I was watching the St Kilda game last week. I was thinking, what is wrong with them? They didn't play like this against us. Like, it was, and you do. You have weeks where you watch your, and the fans will know. They watch their own team thinking, geez, they're off today. And sometimes it's, you know, you hear sometimes a bug goes through the place. You don't know, but you only need to be a metre off in this game is probably the point for your energy to look off.
And Leper, the energy was probably a little bit low at the start of last game, 31 points down at quarter time, and then you guys completely turned the game around in the second term, ended up 2 goals up in pretty much the space of 20 minutes of football. What was that? Was that a tactical change? Was it an effort thing that you addressed at quarter time? How did that game turn around to be so much in your favour and then just run out for the rest of the quarters?
Oh, it's too early quarter time to make massive tactical changes. You know, there was no clear area. You know, they'd scored from defensive 50, turnover, they'd scored from midfield stoppage, they'd scored from forward 50, so they scored from every element. So there wasn't like there's one thing you could have put your finger on at quarter time. I just thought it was the players' persistence, you know, that really got us back in the game. And then the game again, I think again it was built off our pressure. I think our game is, our come forward approach is built off the first player, and if he comes forward hard and puts pressure on the opposition, the second and third guy tend to follow. So we're hoping to do that today.
Hey, Justin, were you surprised that the Bombers have gone so big for this game? Peter Wright back after the four-week suspension. They've left Harry Jones there, and they've got the double whammy ruck of Goldstein and Draper. How does that affect what you'll be doing today?
Every team's done that the last few weeks. They've brought in the extra tall against us. So I think you go off last year, we're the number one aerial intercept team, but not ground ball. And I think that's the method or the theory behind having extra tools. Is not so much of whether you can mark it, it's stopping us marking it, if that makes sense. So, so I understand the theory behind it. It gives us a ground level advantage somewhere. Blustery days here at the G probably suits more of a ground level setup, but, you know, I'm probably less worried about them. In the box, you're probably more worried about what the ground's looking like for you.
How are you and Damo these days, Leper?
Please.
Oh, we're best mates. We caught up a few times. No. Damo's awesome. How you been, Damo?
We're good. These guys are fascinated by that. They just don't realise there's occasional friction in what we do, and we move on, don't we? Oh, we've passed it up.
Mate, you journos bash each other up more than anyone.
Correct.
Don't worry about me.
Were you physically confident if it had got out of hand between you and David?
Oh, don't worry.
I think you have me covered. I think you have me covered on that one.
Well, you leave it to it, coach. We appreciate your time. Thanks, Justin.
No worries, mate. Have a good call.
Justin Lepich down there with Mickey Roberts as we have a look at the Pies. Described last year, Nathan, it looks like they're going to a 21st when they come out on the ground. Darcy Moore, big smile on his face. Nick Dacos, Josh Dacos, Jeremy Howe. You'll hear the crowd in the next couple of seconds as Collingwood make their way out onto the MCG.
Rossi Maynard looks like business. He's not smiling.
No, the rest of Marlo just looks like a fun way to play footy, Nate. The day of the seriousness when you came out on the ground, they no longer in all power for the clubs.
I tell you what, a lot of fluoro orange boots on these boys too. Mate, three-quarters of the team got the fluoro orange boots
and
on.
The white glove.
They are. It's refreshing to watch the way this team go about it. As you said, Darcy Moore with the big smile. The Dacos boys are up and about. They just love playing footy. They love the occasion. They love the stage. They embrace it. They don't care about mistakes. They don't let the fear and the pressure get to them. And that's been their greatest strength over the past 2 and a bit years. And looking forward to seeing them again on a big stage.
Is there anyone voting on the Anzac Day medal today from our box?
No, there's a Triple M person, though, isn't there?
Yeah,
there is
Daisy.
There is Daisy.
Dale Thomas is.
Yeah. Dale Thomas is for Channel 7, not for us, though.
No.
Just see that glove. He pulled that out last week on the telly, and Dwayne and I were looking at each other, and we said, oh, it looks like a golf glove, but said it on air, but weren't that confident. But I saw him on the news this week, or on his podcast, which is a good show. He's rocking a golf glove.
Yeah, he's got a few accessories, hasn't he? Our man, the Chief, on a Friday huddle, had some issues with the goggles that he was wearing a couple of years ago, Howie. But he's added the golf glove over a contraption that is on his hand, so he's been banged up, the poor bloke, over his shortish time in the game, but he keeps finding ways.
I think he's good for footy.
Oh, I love it, Nate.
I love it, Brownie. I couldn't agree more.
So good for footy, and the fact that he gets to be involved in a part of the Australian history, I think it means a lot to him. He's a very intelligent man, I'm sure. He's all across it. Chiman will come and give us the size lately. The Bombers won't be too far away. As soon as they go through the banner, we'll take a break so we can get all the activity and ceremonials on the other side. McInnes, Sullivan and Markov out of the side, and Harrison is the sub. So coming in as the sub is Harvey Harrison, the man from Golden Grove, for his fifth game of footy, and no Sartis, Caddy or Guelphy, and the sub there is Nick Hine, the speedster, Damo, just before we get the Bombers out here, any other news floating around?
Well, obviously, Richmond's injury problem is a major concern after their loss last night. Well,
what happened with old mate's hamstring last night?
I think it needs to be delved into. He came back, Joey, as we know, with what had been a knee sidelining, and he had it strapped up and then pinged a hamstring. And Brownie, you called the game for Triple M. You noticed it go at the time, and he lingered out there, and
he came off.
Done.
He came off.
Who are we talking about?
And then didn't come off. The doctors and the trainers went out to him. So we're talking about Jacob Hopper, and then he pushed them away, said he'd be okay. Kept feeling the hamstring, but he would have played for another 8 or 9 minutes after. Actually got a couple of possessions too, but in one of those possessions, then he did his hamstring. So sometimes you've got to, I guess, keep the player from hurting himself sometimes. He probably should have come off after he had the first initial awareness of it.
Oh, he might have already done the hammy. Yeah. And sometimes if it's the first time, and we believe first time he's done a soft tissue, you're not quite sure. You sometimes think, is it cramp? Is it just tight? And you keep playing. And I think, too, with his personality and the amount of footy that he's already missed, Damo, he just wanted to, like, nah, stuff it. I'm just going to stay out here. You could see how much it meant to him when he came to the bench and he kicked the bench. So I just think it was a player that probably knew he'd done it but thought, maybe I can push through it. And he tried for a little bit, but inevitably it catches up with you.
So he came off the injury list for a half, not even, and Kate, he now goes back onto that list, which has already got Lynch, Bolton, Taranto, Short, Gibkiss, Prestia, Ross and others.
Yeah, well, we already thought it was going to be a tough season for Richmond, and that was before we saw their injury list get to this point. So it's become very, very tough for them. Obviously, Lynch, another one that has just spent so much time in the last two or three seasons on that list as well for such a long time. His is obviously a little bit different with the foot and less soft tissue, but they're the ones that really catch your attention. When there's multiple soft tissue injuries at a club, that's when you start to take a little bit more of a fine-tooth comb over it and see, okay, what are we doing with our programming and why are we having so many soft tissue injuries?
Before we get into the formalities, Joey, anyone you like for the Anzac Day medal today? Who's going to light it up?
You know what? I reckon the big players step up on the big stage. It's one, you know, Swanee and Pendlebury and James Hurt, these guys. I can't go past Nick Dacos or Jordan DeGoey. I think one of those two will win it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jordan DeGoey for mine.
I saw Bobby Hill live last week. He was three steps quicker than anyone on the ground, Nate. He's done it before at Grand
Final.
Unbelievable.
He kicks in today.
Whoa. So Darcy Moore and Zach Merritt leave the teams through the joint banner together, honouring those that the Essendon and Collingwood Football Club have lost in service.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.